All right, if you'll grab your Bibles and turn to Matthew 13. We're in shutdown Sunday number 8.
Not.
Matthew 13, 1 through 9. Are you there yet?
Nope. Hallelujah.
I got one. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Matthew 13.
Amen.
All right, here we go, reading from verse 1. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered around him, so that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on a rocky ground where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. With the soon coming reopening of society, there will be time to sow. People right now have been scattered back into their homes, and in the future, in the near-term future, many still won't come out, or they won't go back to church, and maybe even worse, they won't go back into the community to do ministry. So where does that leave us? So, that's S-O-W, not as in so what. So, S-O-W, just to get that straight. Amazing Grace Community Church, our mission is to administer God's grace, to love others like Jesus, and to sow seeds. Last week we talked about kingdoms. We talked about the kingdom of heaven. We talked about the kingdom of darkness. And we talked about the two sowers, Jesus and Satan. And we heard about the two types of plants, the wheat and the weeds. So we've been bouncing around in chapter 13, which is a pretty significant chapter for Jesus in teaching the parables, announcing the kingdom of heaven, teaching what it's like. And we heard last week how we have been given understanding of these mysteries. And these parables are presented in two parts. Usually the first part is a truth, which can also be a mystery, and the second part is an explanation. So if you'll turn with me to 1 Corinthians, go to the right just a little bit. First Corinthians 3, we'll be reading verses 5 through 9. So Paul says, what then is Apollos? And what is Paul? They are simply servants of whom through you believed. Paul says, I planted. And Apollos watered. Apollos, do the watering. But it was God who gave the growth. So neither he who plants or he who waters is anything. but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one. And each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. So, what Paul is teaching us here is both the sower and the disciple maker work together. But they both depend on God to cause the growth. When Jesus told us to go out and make disciples of all nations, he was speaking to us as a group, not just one of us. So therefore, we should work together as one. So when I go out sowing, and some of you do the watering, and while you are watering, maybe I go back out and keep sowing. You see how that works? I guess just to clarify what is watering, that's kind of the disciple-making part. You know, we meet somebody that's been introduced to the Word of God, the Kingdom of Heaven, by the sower. But somebody else will come along and help them grow in their faith. They will teach them and answer some of the questions that come about when somebody's seeking Jesus or when they've just come into the kingdom. So that's what sowing is, and that's what watering is. Some of you are great at sowing. Some of you are great at discipling. Some of you are great at just loving people, loving these new believers, loving people that have been sown into. And we all do a little bit. We each do our bit. But as a group, we're doing it together. We're doing a lot. Next slide. I guess the summary of the sower and the waterer and those that love is that we are all working together as one for the one. We're all working together as one for the one. And that one is Jesus. Amen. So where do we choose to sow? Roll back with me to Matthew 13 and let's look at the explanation that Jesus gives us. And we'll be in verse 18. Matthew 13, verse 18. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes along and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. 20. As for what was sown in the rocky ground, this is one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, he falls away. In fact, Scripture says immediately he falls away. 22. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. So where do we choose to sow? In this parable, the sower seemed to sow indiscriminately, didn't he? I mean, he seemed to put soil here, soil there, soil seed there. And he witnessed various types of results. One was no response. One was an emotional response. One was a worldly response. And another was a fruitful response. Sadly, the no response, the emotional response, and the worldly response leave the church. They leave the faith. It's the fruitful response that Jesus is focusing on and trying to encourage us to be. So, why would somebody choose to sow seed along the path where the ground is hard or along the rocks where they know it's not going to work?
Judging approach?
Well, you got to, you know, who are they to judge that this person is not going to respond or something? Maybe, you just got to throw it out there and eventually somebody, you know, you can't be the judge of, you might think somebody's not going to do it, but they may do it, you know.
Excellent point. When we're sowing, we're sowing into people's heart, which we can't see. Mm-hmm. And for us to disqualify them, we're doing something that is not given to us by God. It's not for us to disqualify somebody. Oh, I'm not going to sow seed there because, you know, they're never going to come to Christ. They're never going to heaven.
Well, so also, if you do it enough times, you know, maybe they'll wake up. Or maybe it's just not the right time that time.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Next year might be better.
Right.
Good. Good point. So, if we know the results of the various soil types, why wouldn't we just go focus on the fruitful soil, the fertile soil? I mean, think about that. If you're going to go out evangelizing, wouldn't it be more fun? Wouldn't it be easier to go to somebody that is fertile soil, that seems ready to hear the word, that wants to hear the word? Wouldn't it seem like that would be the thing to do?
It'd be too easy.
Amen. And I think with
God came for the sinner, not for the saved.
Amen.
And there's always hope, and a flower can still grow up through the concrete.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think as we look at this parable, we see that possibly some of the answers are that this sower had unlimited amount of seed. Maybe. The second would be that he had hope. When we go out sowing, we need to go out with hope. We need to be positive. We need to be optimistic. We need to be representing God's heart. God's heart is that none should perish. So that ought to be our heart as well. The third might be, he just sowed wherever he went. Now this is something that maybe we can take to heart. Wherever we go, wherever we are, we can be sowing right there. Mm-hmm. So we're not always going to find ourselves in the fertile field. So why not be like this sower, sowing wherever possible? But getting back to the point, the most likely answer is, you know, the first part of the parable is communicating it to us a principle, but the second part is an explanation. And the second part talks about the results. What happened to the seed that was sown? And that's how we knew what kind of soil there was. So the fruitful results are what we saw, and that let us know what was the best soil. But as was said earlier, we can't see into people's hearts like mm-hmm. God can. Mm-hmm. So let us try to be his hands and feet. And just like we read in 1 Corinthians, you know, we sow, somebody else waters, But it's God who causes the growth. You know, this is also important because we are in the wrong if we think, wow, I saved that person. I caused that person to grow. Because it's God. You know, we should never be taking credit for these things that God does. He chooses to use us, not because He needs us, but because He wants to bless us. He wants us to experience that blessing by using, being used by God, being His hands and feet. So what exactly is this seed? What exactly is a seed? Well, in verse 19, remember it says, we went about, it's the message of the kingdom, or the word of the kingdom. So when we're going out sowing, we're sharing news of the kingdom. Remember last week we talked about the kingdom of heaven? And we saw that it is a spiritual kingdom. So in other words, you can't go to a particular geographical location and say, oh, there's the kingdom of heaven, I see it, I'm in it. Because it kind of doesn't have any real boundaries. You know, if you saw it, it would probably be like this. So at present, we can't see the kingdom of heaven itself. It's a spiritual kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom that has a king and it has subjects, us. We are the Lord's bond slaves. Some actually live in the kingdom of heaven that don't belong. And that will be sorted out later. That's the wheat and the tares. It's also the parable of the dragnet. The fishermen would go out and they throw out the net and they drag in every fish that's in the proximity of that net. The good and the bad fish. Later they sort them out. So here again, we see where Jesus is teaching us, don't disqualify someone that you're not going to sow seed. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus says it's at hand, it's near. The kingdom of heaven is eternal. And believers who represent the wheat are sown there by Jesus. So, when we go out, we're sowing seed, but it's the Holy Spirit drawing that person's heart to Jesus that brings them into the kingdom. We're born into the kingdom. We're planted into the kingdom. We do not earn our way into the kingdom. We do not be good enough to say, ah, I'm qualified for the kingdom. So I want to finish up with a few conclusions, maybe some things that we missed, and then have you share your reflection and takeaway from today's scripture. But remember in verse 23, at the end of this passage, it said, "He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, and another 60, and another 30. What's he talking about there? You know, I bet you most of us are thinking the answer is, I'm 100-fold. In other words, I'm really righteous. I really got the message. I've really changed my life. I'm really good. And others might think, well, I'm like 60%. Others might think I'm 30%. You know? But if you look at the context here, if we're going to bear fruit, we're going out sowing seed. And we are going to see a crop yield from that. We may not see it personally. In fact, the interesting thing about sowing seed is most of what grows you won't see. You won't know about it until you get to heaven and Jesus says, well done. And then we get to see what our work produced. So here's the bottom line. The bottom line is, are we bearing fruit by sowing and bringing forth new believers? Being a Christian Being part of the church isn't just about coming here on Sunday morning. It's a 24/7 lifestyle. It is something that doesn't depart from your lips, like this lady's prayer on the water well thing. She's reading from Deuteronomy 6, where we are to, when we're standing, when we're sitting, when we're in the square, we're to be sharing God's message, God's love, the Word of God. So how are you going to do this? How are you going to sow seed if you're not at least participating in some way in the sowing or the planting or the watering business? You know, God has given each of us a measure of faith. He's given us each a gift, and we're to use it. And if we find that we're more effective at the watering, go out and water. Find a sower and follow behind that sower and start watering. If you find you're a good fertilizer, follow behind the waterer and fertilize. Or if you're the sower, get out there and sow. In fact, really all of us should be sowing seeds pretty much everywhere all the time. See, you can't do the things that Jesus tells us to do sitting at home watching church on your computer or on your TV. You have to gather, and you have to go out.
Tell that to the governor.
He'll tell you you're full of fertilizer.
You can use social networking to plant seeds.
There may be a time where I'm involuntarily put before him, and then I'm sure I'll have the words. So, you know, if you don't come to church and participate, you wouldn't hear this message. And you wouldn't likely be reminded by anyone to sow seed. So there's many ways to sow seed. But the seed, remember, is the message or the word of the kingdom. That we as believers live in a different kingdom. And maybe over the last month or two, that's meant a little more to you. Maybe you've started to understand, I need a better kingdom than the one I'm in, physically. And anyone and everyone is invited into this kingdom of heaven. Most of us are already there. We've been planted there by Jesus. Our hearts have been changed. And we've been planted there. So why do we keep sowing? Why do we keep on going out and sowing? Why should we? Well, that's what a sower does. A fisherman goes out, catches fish, and the sower goes out and sows. We're never done. We just keep doing it. All right. Any reflection and takeaway from the parable this morning?
Well, I know the Niagara Gospel Rescue Mission is for homeless people in Niagara Falls, and I've given my testimony about that a few times. And you never know who you're reaching. But after the first one, this young guy came up and said, "You talked about your dog getting healed." Oh, what? You know, he's all blown away. I never would have guessed the dog, you know. And then the second time, I was in church, and this old man, the very old man, was there and went up and got saved, and he had a few other young women. He came up to me afterwards and said, "Genius, because you came and talked, I came to Todd's house. And now, and I brought these two men with me, and my goal, I'm bringing every single man from the Gospel Rescue Mission here to be saved." And I never would have guessed it. And there's a song, I wish I'd heard of the name of it, but there's a song when you go to heaven that people are going to line up. Like maybe that charity you sent $40 to, that person will say thank you. And each person will line up. You smiled at me that day when everyone needed a smile. And they'll all line up and say thank you. How about that? That's pretty cool.
Amen. Amen.
But just to keep remembering Jesus and love, even if you don't feel like it.
Right. Right. You know, one of the points we should pick up out of this is, if we aren't sowing, how are we going to bear fruit? I mean, that's what Jesus was commending in this parable. So if we're not sowing, how are we going to bear fruit? pick up anything else?
Sometimes the seed needs to be, there's a lot of trees and stuff like that that won't produce unless they've had a hard winter or something that scraped them. I forget what they call that. But. So I guess, you know, just keep chipping away. You know.
Go cut down that tree.
Persevere.
I think also that, like, you never know how you're sowing seeds. And I do believe that, like, you can sow online. Because I meet people all the time, and I just, I mean, I'm spending all week just praying for random people. Mm-hmm. Just looking at Twitter and people saying, like, man, this is awful. And I just say, it doesn't have to be, you know, like, I'm praying for you. And there was a couple people that were like, wow, that really helped, and I felt it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, it's the prayers, too, but also... Like, even with my mom, after watching that movie, what is that movie where the guy's dad, it's a Christian film, but it's, the guy's dad turns around at the end, he's a singer, and his dad, like, comes around, and it's like...
I can only imagine,
that's it. So I watched that, and I was like, man, if that guy can, then surely my mom can, anybody can, if I can, anybody can, you know, so then that happened, and I... Instead of telling my mom, you should do this or that, I just continued with my path, and she... was like, wow, you're doing really good. Like, maybe I should do that. You know, so, you know, it's just, it's in what you do also. It's not like going out and telling people, but it's just being available for people to say, you know, I'm here for you. And I think that's what everybody needs right now. And they're like, why? It's like, because of Jesus is why. I'm here for you because Jesus loves me.
Yeah, amen.
And that's why.
I think the point about... being online is just being passive, just watching a performance rather than doing.
Right.
So James tells us, don't be just a hearer of the word, but be a doer.
Just going to church is the same, like sitting there watching the TV. You don't participate in some level.
Yeah, got to participate. You know, I think the real hot switch for me on this parable this morning is... that we're nearing, hopefully, the end of a change in society where people have been isolated and quarantined. And there's going to be, likely, a lot of people who have suffered because of that. We know that isolation and loneliness can cause destruction in people's lives. And we have good news. And so we need to... switch our thinking from hiding out to going out and sharing the love of Jesus. Asking people, what can I do for you? How can I help you? Do you have some issues going on that you just need to talk about? You know, that alone, just sitting and listening to somebody talk about their issues is huge. And then God may show you something. So, just take away... this week, the little seed that was planted about sowing. And maybe next week we'll have sowing lessons.
Yes.
Can I throw something in here?
Sure. Yeah.
Most of you don't know me. I'm Matt. Just moved here a while ago. But fell in love with this place. But the thing about this parable that a lot of people forget is that you can sow a billion seeds, and that's great. But nobody ever seems to remember that the harder soil to sow in is something that still needs to be sown. You get that hard, dry, cracked soil, those people that are out there doing the things that aren't really appropriate for societal norms or life or anything, you know, and their lives are still, they're just filled with dirt and grime and nasty. You still need to sow the seeds there.
Amen.
It just needs a lot more water. A lot more water.
I totally agree.
We need a pickaxe for that ground.
But people need to remember to not just go to that nice, tilled earth.
Yeah.
You got to go to that dry, hard, packed clay, and sometimes you got to break it up. You know.
Yeah. God made it all types of soil.
Yeah. Another good point.
Plus, you never know how long it's going to take for that seed to germinate, because it was like a 6-year journey from when my seed was sowed to when the seed was sown, till it germinated and sprouted. And that wasn't until after the fact that my flower could look back and say, oh, there's where the seed was sown. Huh. I wasn't a good soil at the time. And it's unfortunate that I can't find the gal who sowed the seed anymore, because I'd love to thank her for sowing that seed and how obvious it is from a rear reflection. You couldn't see it forward, you could see it backwards. And so it's interesting to have.
Just imagine when you get to heaven. Mm-hmm. You'll be able to search her out and say, oh, do you know what happened? That'd be exciting. All righty, well, let's gather around and pray for one.